So today we're going to go over John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And our title today is Giving Witness to the Light. Now, as we look at this text, I want to make something very clear. John the Apostle wrote the book of John, okay? John is going to introduce John the Baptist in this passage. John the Apostle and John the Baptist are not the same people. I know for many that's old news, but for others that might be a new insight. That might be a new detail not realized. So I want to make sure that's clear. So for the matter of clarity and not getting all confused as we go over our text, I will refer to the Apostle John as the author, just author. And John the Baptist as John. So now that's all cleared. The author presents a person here, you already know who it's going to be, but presents a person here to help us know who Jesus is. And as we will see through what might seem just simple descriptions of a person, what may seem just run-of-the-mill of a standard introduction of maybe a prominent person in the gospel, it actually has some pretty significant applications for you and I in regards to our life in knowing Christ better. So let's look at our text. Chapter 1, verse 6 says this, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Good. All right, we're on. Not the Apostle John, John the Baptist. The author states that this person, whose name was John, was someone with great importance. He was made for a particular reason. If you were to circle that word was in your Bible in verse 6, that word means that John was made or came into existence. And then by saying a man sent from God, by adding to that, this means that he was in the same category as Moses and the same status as the prophets. He had a divine commission from God himself. He was sent from God. And to add on top of all of this, this person, John, was even prophesied back in the Old Testament where it says in Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says this, "A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So put together, you get this understanding that John was made with a purpose. His existence was not by accident. And the timing of him living in the world the way it was, this too was not by mistake. For his life was planned out by God and he had a mission to fulfill. And everything that happened to him over his whole life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it was done so that he could be shaped to do the very thing that God had set him out to do. For he was sent by God to do the will of God. So what was his mission? What was the centric goal of his life? What was his existence centered on? What drove his purpose? Our author tells us in verse 7. It says this in 1 verse 7. "He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him." Our author points out that this man, John, existed as a witness, or more directly, for witness. Now, why would I say for witness? Well, it's John's activity, his mission, that's really highlighted here. And that's what truly draws all the attention and significance, the mission, not necessarily the man. For as important as he was and is, our author is emphasizing John as a witness and not John himself. Remember, our author is all about us knowing who Jesus is so we can believe in him more and more. So with John being for witness, our author is kind of using some legal language here. For our author is wanting us to see that because of John being existing for witness, people he's writing to, we have good reason to believe in this Christ. For John himself exists for witness. And just to make it clear, what a witness is, it's a person who establishes truthfulness of certain events and certain facts. Because a witness is not about highlighting himself or making himself the center of attention, but rather they are to give an account of something, point to something, describe something that they know is true. They are committed on the truth of what they have seen. They're not neutral to it, but committed to the statements that they make, to what they have seen, to what they have heard. What did John then testify to? Our author states, to bear witness about the light. So this mission, his life summary, if you will, was to speak about and point to Christ, who is the light. See, John was not living his life speaking about how he felt about God. He was not living his life to talk about his experience with God. Nor his goal, his witness, was that he made much of Christ. That's why he existed, for witness, to the light, for the world. John's mission from God was to speak of Christ and to speak of Christ's divine mission. That's his sole purpose. That is what our author wants us to see. This man, John, was committing to getting the message of Jesus Christ, the message of light, out into the world. So with John bearing witness about this light implies then that there was only darkness in the world. There was a conflict going on to which John gave his life to attest to. To put it more bluntly, John, through bearing witness to the light, was making a statement that the darkness to which the light was coming to, John was saying the darkness was wrong and the light was the right way. The light is what needed to be focused on. The light is what needed to be known. The light is what gives true sight. But with the light coming into the world of darkness, you know what happens? It divides. For the light that John gives witness to demands a choice to be made, to see it and embrace it, or to ignore it and hide from it. And for John, his purpose and mission in speaking of the light was, as it says in verse 7, that all might believe through him. Now here's the interesting thing with the last part of verse 7. With John's mission of speaking on the mission of Christ made him part of Christ's mission. For John's life being centered on speaking of Christ also made him centered on wanting to see people come to know Christ as a consequence. I know that sounds kind of silly and it sounds kind of redundant maybe, but listen. The drive to speak of Christ, the drive to know Christ so as to speak of him more and more, is what drove John to want to see people saved more and more as a direct consequence. He had a heart to see people saved in knowing this Christ because he was wanting to know this Christ. His heart was aligning with Christ's heart for saving a lost world, and John was wanting the same. For that word, all, that all might believe, means all, not some, not kind of some, not most of some, but all. All the people around him and those to come in the future, like you and me, John looked upon and saw the need of a Savior. And John told them of their need of a Savior. And he did his best to encourage them to believe in the Savior. For his mission was more than just a duty, was more than just the right thing. As right as it was and as much as a duty as it was more than that. It was his passion to see people come to know Jesus from that point until the end of the world. That's the message he brought into the world. Not just to speak of Jesus as just some formal class subject or to speak of Jesus as some research project. No, John presented Christ and all that he knew of him to the people in hopes that the people would turn to Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. See, these words that say believe through him in verse 7, that him is not referring to Christ through him. We believe in Christ. But through him, John is referring to himself. Believing through John. John saw himself as the vessel, as the tool, the means to which others could hear the message. He wasn't looking for anyone else to do it. He wasn't depending on anyone else to do it. He was determined to do it, to declare the message to all because it was that important to him to not keep quiet about it. He couldn't keep quiet about it, despite any awkwardness or pain that may come. For that was his mission, speaking about the heart of God for the sinful people around him. Speaking about how God was sending the light. God was sending the Savior, and he was coming to save sinners, coming to save corrupted people like you and me. John took joy in speaking this message of people, or message to the people. And I'm going to be more blunt. John wanted to be and to see people. He wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to see it. He wanted to see people come to know Christ. So he lived his life in making the active choice through declaring the message of light to the people in the dark world. For the light, Jesus and his mission was worth it, no matter the outcome of his life. Now, our author adds one other thing about John. He says in verse 8, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Now, what you have here is something that we may think is obvious. Of course, we would say John is not the light, duh. For his mission was to speak about the light. We just read that, John. Oh, I'm sorry, author. We just read that author. But there's a deeper aspect to this because our author is not just writing for the sake of writing words to sound poetic. Because remember, his goal is that we know who Christ is so we can believe in him more and more. Our author repeats once again that John came to bear witness about the light, but adds that he was not the light. So what on earth does this mean? Well, it means that John, in his dialogue with people, in his conversations, he knew that what brought people saving knowledge of Christ, follow me here, what brought saving knowledge of Christ, it was Christ himself and not his personal testimony. He was not the light. Now, did John have a testimony of his life with God? Of course. I'm sure he spoke of it with people, probably started conversations with it. And it's not wrong to talk about what God's doing in your life. I encourage it. The Bible would encourage it. But John knew his life was not going to change people. That's important even for us to remember. Your life's not going to change people. His life was not going to enlighten people. His experience with God was not going to save people. He was not the light. No, his goal was to speak of the one who gives life. His goal was to speak of the one who does enlighten people. His goal was to tell of the one who could give the true experience of salvation to change people. For he came to bear witness about the light. He was not the light. John was the agent of belief, but Jesus was the object of belief. John was all about attracting people to Christ, who was the light, and not to attract people to himself. For as interesting as his life may be and was, it has no power to save anyone, only Christ. So how does this all apply then to you and me in knowing our Christ? Well, friends, though you and I are not John the Baptist, okay, nor would you ever dream of being of him. He was a very special person, right, who got to introduce Christ to the world for the first time, okay? I mean, that's his life purpose. That's why he existed, a witness, to be a witness for Christ. Yet, though, you and I in principle have the same overall general purpose of John. We are to be a witness, or now to exist for witness to all the people around us for Christ. Now you might think, wait a minute, where are you getting that crazy thought? This existing for witness. Well, it's from Jesus himself. It says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go! Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." See, like John, you who have faith in Christ, who believe, you have a call upon you to exist for witness to Christ. You were saved for his purpose, to his glory. Your salvation was not an accident. You were saved to bring glory to his name and to share the glory of the gospel with all people. Now, to be sure, I'm not misunderstood. I'm not saying everyone here has to go out and be like John the Baptist and go across the world on a missionary to be a missionary. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you have to be out there weekly on the street corner declaring the gospel. And I'm not saying that you have to give up your job and go into full-time ministry. I mean, hey, great if you feel called to do so. Amen. I will applaud you, and this church will come behind you to do so. And in fact, I encourage you to pray about such things. It's never a bad thing to pray about such things. Most of the time, we don't pray about those things at all, and we think someone else should do it. It's never bad to ask God, is that the direction of your life that he's calling you to go out? That's never a bad thing. But that's not what I'm getting at. In fact, once you're saved, Paul says you don't have to do that. Not everyone's called to do that. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 through 24, it says this: "Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed man in the Lord. Likewise, who was free when he was called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him remain with God." But it's that last part, "let him remain of God," is what I want us to see in light of our passage today in dealing with John the Baptist. See, you and I are called to see our life now, wherever we are, as the mission field. Just like John, there's a reason of why you are living in this age, at this time of life. There's a reason as to why you went through all you went through up to this very moment in life before you walked through those doors. Your personality, your thoughts, your involvement with whatever, your work relationships, your hobbies, the place where you live, your neighbors, where you shop, your kids, your spouse, your friends, where you frequently go and eat. All of your life now is not an accident. You don't by chance show up places anymore. Though you may think so and feel like it, it's not by chance. For you are now, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, ambassadors for Christ. Wherever you go, with whatever you do, just as John existed for witness to Christ, witness to the light of the world in full of spiritual darkness, so too do you. And again, you don't exist where you are by chance. No, you have a purpose of being where you are. And that's to witness about Christ to those around you so they too may believe upon his name. You are the tool, the broken tool, but the tool, the vessel which God uses and wants to use to reach people for him. Now, I think most would say, but I'm not qualified for that. I struggle with my sins. I fumble when I speak. And in fact, I doubt God at times in my own life. Surely there are better people qualified to do such a thing. Like John was. Well, my friends, well, church, as hardcore, right, as intense as John was, he too was a sinner. Just like you, in need of a Savior. For even he, towards the end of his life, in prison, awaiting to be executed, after he had already baptized Christ, declared the wondrous things about Jesus, which we'll eventually see here in the book of John, even he struggled with doubt. Even he struggled to exist for witness. He doubted Christ, the very person whom he spoke about, and wondered if he truly was the Savior. All this was towards the end of his life. It says in Matthew 11, verses 2 and 3, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?'" I mean, this is the great man, John the Baptist. We all see as the example of the great evangelist. Everyone says, "Be like John the Baptist." Well, you're more like him than you think you are. Because even he doubted and struggled and had issues. Now, why bring that up? Well, because again, it's not about your life. It's about Christ and his life. You are not the light. He was not the light. You are to bear witness about the light. For anything good in you is from Christ, and anything bad in you shows and reveals your constant need of Christ. For God uses broken, wretched sinners, because broken, wretched sinners are all that there are. For you are not the light. You, like John, are to witness about the light so others can believe upon him by faith. Even if our faith is weak and little, which it is, It's not our quality of faith that saves us. It's the object of our faith that saves us, that we give witness to that saves us. And that is Jesus, the light. So think of it this way. If you struggle with sin, and you all do, being open with that is a great witness to the light when spoken about correctly. For it reveals to all that truly God does love sinners like you and forgives them fully like you and brings no condemnation upon them like you. For you have been truly freed from the power of sin and death, all through faith in Christ, attest to the light. You are a trophy of God's grace. So speak of how Christ has won for you. Attest to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because remember, you and I, irrelevant of how we're doing in our life bears no truth on our salvation. But it's all by faith alone. And that is the truth for all to know. For Christ lived the life that we could not live. He died the death that we deserve. And he came back to life to give what we could not earn.